The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said to herself, "If I but touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothing?" But his disciples said to him, "You see, Lord, the crowd is pressing in upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. And the woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue officials arrived, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message which was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out, and he took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. They were utterly astounded. And he gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should get something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel is confusing and fascinating. So let me just pause for these few moments and take a look at this. There is that last line, which is of some interest to us. It's called the Messianic Secret, and it appears especially in the Gospel of Mark. You'll find this many times in Mark's Gospel, where Jesus performs a miracle, and then he said, "Tell nobody about it until the Son of Man has risen." You'll find that in the Transfiguration event, where he goes up to the mountain, he's transfigured, and when he comes down, he says, "Tell nobody about this until the Son of Man has risen." And the Messianic Secret is meant to tell us that you cannot proclaim Jesus Christ until you have seen him suffer and die and rise from the dead. He's not just a miracle worker. And that's the danger he was guarding against here. To just say we have a miracle worker here, that's not the Messianic Jesus. The Messianic Jesus suffers, and he dies, And then he rises. And only when you have grasped the truth of death and resurrection in your own life, only then can you proclaim Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of the messianic secret. It will appear especially in the Gospel of Mark. The incident with the woman and the child is very interesting. It appears also in Luke's Gospel. Matthew and John don't mention it. At first glance, it's difficult to know what is there about the woman with the issue of blood and the child who died. What do they have in common? Well, here's what they have in common. If you go back and read the Torah, and all these people were very familiar with the Torah, read the book of Leviticus or Deuteronomy or Numbers. These are the books of law in the Torah. The Torah has five books. Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are the books of the law. And you'll find, especially in Leviticus there in chapter 11, there are three chapters set out for dealing with what's called ritual uncleanness. Now, this is not moral uncleanness, it's ritual uncleanness. And there were certain conditions in which a person was considered ritually unclean, which means they were separated from the community. They had to stay outside. If they touched anybody, that person was declared ritually unclean. Lepers. But notice how Jesus touches the leper, which means he becomes ritually unclean according to the Torah. And when this woman touches the garment of Jesus, read Leviticus, she is considered ritually unclean because of the issue of blood. It's a strange type of belief, but it's divine revelation in the Torah. And when she touches the garment of Jesus, he is declared ritually unclean. The same when he takes the hand of the child. The people believe the child was dead. To touch a dead body made you ritually unclean. You'll find this over and over again. It's easy to miss, but it's the connection between the woman with the issue of blood and the child who was dead. And how Jesus ignores these ritual laws, and he himself becomes ritually unclean. You'll remember when he cured the 10 lepers, he said, "Now, after you go and show yourself to the priests, and that will be enough for you to be reconciled ritually." Now, what does this mean to us? It means that she did not make Jesus unclean. Jesus made her clean. Jesus ignored the ritual laws of the Torah. Compassion, touching somebody and healing, giving somebody life, lifting up somebody, including somebody who was left out. These are the values proclaimed by Jesus Christ, not the rituals, not the rituals of the Torah. And what does this mean to us today? There's a way in which we can invoke all sorts of rituals of exclusion. You don't qualify. You're not worthy. You're considered unclean. You don't fit in. We can get caught in the same type of legalistic minutiae where we declare people that you don't fit and you have to go through some kind of a ritual. Jesus ignores the details of these ritual laws, and he touches people in compassion. The woman touches his garment, and he touches the child believed to be dead. And for all those around him, once this happened, they knew that he was ritually unclean, that he should be separated from the community. So what drives the mission of Jesus? Compassion, understanding, healing, including people, blessing people, giving people hope, giving people new life. That's the mission of Jesus Christ. We touched it in the last two Sundays, reading from the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel. He said, I have come to give life, to set the prisoners free, to lift up the spirit. I mean, declare a year of favor for the Lord where everything is forgiven and everything is reconciled. If you lose touch with that essential mission of Jesus Christ, you lose touch with the essence of the gospel. So when you look at this strange story about the woman with the issue of blood and the child who had died, he brought back to life, at first glance, it sounds like there's no connection, but there is a connection, and it has to do with the ritual laws of the Torah. So when we enter into this day, in the power of Jesus Christ, we are meant to touch people, give people hope, cheer people, smile, lift up people's spirits, make it a good day for somebody. Whoever meets us, their day should be better. Give life. That's the teaching of the gospel. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer.